In the second part of our service, we will be thinking a little more about themes of peace and reconciliation. The tagline which visitors see on the Welcome to Coventry signs as they enter the city. This year, Remembrance Sunday falls on the 14th of November, a significant date for our city. The date that back in 1940 saw one of the most concentrated German raids on any British city. Some of you listening may have childhood memories of that night and of the days that followed. Led by Provost Richard Howard of the Cathedral, even when war was still raging, Coventry began tentative steps to make links with others across war-torn communities. Firstly, with the city of Stalingrad, later known as Volgograd, and after the war, with cities in Germany and Eastern Europe, and later across the continents. Today, through City Twinning and the Cathedral's community of the Cross of Nails, of which we at Queen's Road are a part, a network of international friendship, peace and reconciliation continues to grow. The writer of our next hymn encapsulates this as he sees a better future, the dawn of a new day.
Away. The reading is taken from Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 to 6. God our Father. As for us, we have this large crowd of witnesses round us. So then, let us rid ourselves of everything that gets in the way and of the sin which holds on to us so tightly, and let us run with determination the race that lies before us. Let us keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, on whom our faith depends from beginning to end. He did not give up because of the cross. On the contrary, because of the joy that was waiting for him, he thought nothing of the disgrace of dying on the cross, and he is now seated at the right-hand side of God's throne. Think of what he went through, how he put up with so much hatred from sinners. So do not let yourselves become discouraged and give up. For in your struggle against sin, you have not yet had to resist to the point of being killed. Have you forgotten the encouraging words which God speaks to you as his sons and daughters? My child, pay attention when the Lord corrects you, and do not be discouraged when he rebukes you. Because the Lord corrects everyone he loves, and punishes everyone he accepts as his child. Amen.
When I was at primary school in the 1940s, a man came to speak to us about the role of the LMS in the war. For younger listeners, the LMS was the London Midland Scottish Railway Company, which operated what we now know as the West Coast Line. At the end of the talk, we were asked if we had any questions. I had two. One was, how do they cook on trains? In my mind, I saw a row of primer stoves. My second question was, do all the trains stop at 11 o'clock on Armistice Day? I guess this visit must have been sometime around Armistice Day itself. Again, in my experience, at 11 o'clock on that day, the local fire siren was sounded and everything stopped. We stood in silence by our desks until the siren went again 2 minutes later. It came as a surprise to me to discover that the first 2 minutes silenced on Armistice Day 1919 was not intended to inaugurate an annual ceremony of remembrance. The British government of that day almost stumbled upon it. The first discussion took place only 6 days before the 11th of November. There was some opposition. Professor Owen Chadwick notes in a minute in the official record that the advantage of the realisation by the nation of the magnitude of its deliverance from the great perils of war outweighs the main object on that a precedent would be set, which in remote years might conceivably prove inconvenient. And so the silence was agreed. The life of the nation stopped for 2 minutes in the middle of a working day. London reminded one observer of the petrified city of Pompeii. Too many had died for it to be treated as an empty ritual. We, however, are living in those remote years of which one thoughtful member of the Cabinet in 1919 spoke. The silence has been transferred to a Sunday, and today, even when we remember and are silent for 2 minutes, we hear the rush of everyday life outside. For many, especially the young, this act that is performed each year has not been so much as an inconvenience as an embarrassment. They have nothing to remember. And as we turn our faces towards war memorials, they turn their minds to present day situations. Black Lives Matter, refugee camps, environmental issues. Is this then just one more instance of the way the church lives in the past? Worse, are we using words and performing rituals which are unrelated to our real life? There are some who remember because they cannot forget. Their lives were shattered by war, and we must not callously disregard their loss. There are some who are not able to get to such occasions, their bodies and minds shattered by war. We dare not forget them. And not all of them were heroes, spurred on by noble ideals. It was conscription that brought most of them to suffering. And a nation which compels its citizens to go to war must honour its obligations to them. And there is one other dark event which we, as followers of Jesus the Jew, forget at our peril. The Holocaust. Hitler's extermination of the Jews is not something which we recall in order to parade the justice of our cause in the Second World War. It is a sign to all of us how easily racial prejudice may blaze out or simply blind the eyes and lead us to do nothing when evil and injustice are found. This last recollection shows that we remember not in an attempt to recall the past, still less to introduce futile regrets for what cannot be unmade. We remember in order to learn from the past and turn to the future. We are humbled by the recognition of how difficult it is to discern what is the right thing to do, and we are chastened by the realisation that great evil lurks in the heart of each one of us. I enjoy watching Foyle's War on television because it highlights the moral dilemma we all face, particularly in a wartime setting. Sometimes a city church will find itself encumbered with a graveyard which has not been used for burials for many years. Most of the relatives of those whose remains are interred have died. The graves are unattended. The monuments and gravestones are broken and lean at awkward angles. The question is asked, what should we do with it? Should we leave it as it is? Should we try to mend all the gravestones? Or should it be turned into a garden or even a playground? But some would say, what about reverence for the dead? Many a church has boldly turned to the present, and to see older people sitting happily in the sun amid a wealth of coloured flowers, or to watch small children and their mothers playing on the grass, is to be convinced that a church which professes faith in the resurrection has acted in the spirit of Jesus. What then is the spirit of Jesus guiding us to in our service of remembrance today? I suggest it is to penitence and commitment. But our penitence is for our own sins, our lack of concern for the old, the poor, the sick, the disadvantaged, the thousands of people living in refugee camps, the people who have been trafficked across the world, the dangerous ease with which our actions are influenced by racial prejudice, our unwillingness to put others first, our failure to live out the ethic of Jesus. Our commitment is to the service of all people, for we belong to one world. As John Bailey taught us, we need to pray that we do not fail in common courtesy and charity to those near to us when we profess noble sentiments for great causes and distant objects. We must see what is on our own doorstep, and we must commit ourselves to bringing peace and reconciliation in our local city. And we shall set our penitence and commitment within the frame of a remembrance wider than a list of names on a war memorial. Christians have always been helped in their life of faith and service by the great cloud of witnesses that have gone before us. To read Christian biography is a great medicine. Above all, as the writer to the Hebrews says, let us fix our eyes upon Jesus, on whom our faith depends from beginning to end. He did not give up because of the cross. On the contrary, because of the joy that was waiting for him, he thought nothing of the disgrace of dying on the cross and is now seated at the right hand of God's throne. So do not let ourselves become discouraged or give up. Let us commit ourselves again today to bring peace and reconciliation within our city, to open our hearts to the refugees amongst us, to be mindful of the poor and the needy, and to follow faithfully in the footsteps of our Lord and Master. Amen.
Following the bombing of the medieval cathedral in 1940, Provost Howard had the words, "Father, forgive," inscribed on the wall behind the altar of the ruined building. The words chosen, "Father, forgive," rather than "Father, forgive them," remind us that we're all in need of God's forgiveness, for we have all sinned and fallen short of God's glory. These words are used as the response in the Coventry Litany of Reconciliation, which is prayed every Friday in the ruins of our cathedral and is used throughout the world by the community of the Cross of Nails. So, as this service draws to a close, we too can join in this simple but profound prayer. We'll follow that by the hymn, "Lord of All Hopefulness," which asks God to be present with us in every moment of our daily lives. May God continue to bless each one of you. Amen.
All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God.
The hatred which divides nation from nation, race from race, class from class.
Father, forgive.
Covetous desires of people and their nations to possess what is not their own.
Father, forgive.
The greed which exploits the work of human hands and lays waste the earth.
Father, forgive.
Our envy of the welfare and happiness of others.
Father, forgive.
Our indifference to the plight of the imprisoned, the homeless, the refugee.
Father, forgive.
The lust which dishonours the bodies of men, women and children.
Father, forgive.
Pride which leads us to trust in ourselves and not in God.
Father, forgive. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you.